Matthew 18, this is a very important concept, a very important principle for the Christian. We're going to talk a little bit about forgiveness tonight. I had a fellow in this church years and years ago, and he had a problem with somebody, and he couldn't forgive him. He was in a leadership role, and I said, I can't have a man in a leadership role with an unforgiving heart. It's important. It's critically important. And I've referred people over the years to this passage of Scripture in Matthew. They just can't get beyond some family fight, some grudge they've got going on with somebody. There's, for some reason, they just can't figure out how to forgive somebody else for what they did to them. Oh, you don't know what he did to me. Well, let's read and just see what the Lord has to say about that business. Matthew 18, 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive them? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told him to their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. My, my, my. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to know your will in this thing, and more than that, I guess, Lord, to know your heart concerning forgiveness. You've forgiven us so much, so much. You've forgiven me so much. How could I hold anything against any person, Lord, after what you've forgiven me? The great debt that I owed and you paid for me, Lord. Help me to have that in my heart and that understanding, and just be thankful for your mercy and your grace, Lord. And teach us tonight what you want us to know about forgiveness. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I've seen a lot of it over the years in police work. Families in turmoil, brothers killing brother. Some of the most dangerous situations, domestic violence. I remember one time in inner city Miami, there was a couple brothers, young men, probably 18 to 20s, but they were brothers fighting in the middle of the street, and we rolled up on that fight and got them separated, and this fist fight and going at it, and one said, well, that's my brother. And I said, why are you fighting your brother? I said, you two should get together and work on somebody else, not fighting each other. But that's how it goes. How many times people remember around the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, there'll be a big family shooting. Family all gets together and end up killing one another. My pride, arrogance gets in the way of forgiveness. My way or the highway, I won't go to him. He'll have to go to me. He'll have to come to me. Anybody ever heard that? As long as I'm right, How about all the times you were wrong? What was it? Somebody had posted way back, maybe Dale Steenhoven, one of the pastors, had posted a quote from Spurgeon that says, I forget how it was worded, but to the effect of look out when you condemn somebody who says something bad about you, because you yourself know that you're much worse than they say you are. That's about the truth. Oh, I can't get over it. Well, what if the Lord had said that? Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Matthew 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And now I know that's before the crucifixion. I know that. But the Lord's forgiven you. Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now let me put that in context. It's an Old Testament passage. But you should get the idea that God wants you to forgive. Lord here was speaking to his disciples. And as a Christian, we know that we're forgiven because of the blood of Christ. We understand that. Now, when it comes to unconfessed sin, the Bible teaches that we open ourselves up to chastisement and God will whoop up on us even though we're secure in Christ. Well, that principle may apply in unforgiveness. You want God to bless you, not to deny yourself blessing from God because of the hardness of your heart. I'm trying to remember a message I heard you preach. I'm sitting running school traffic a mile, and I had a Phil Gabbard tape on. And he was talking about brothers having hardness in their heart. He said, that's brethren. That's one toward another. I remember that line. Yeah. We look at Scripture, we say over and over, that because Christ has forgiven you so much, he expects you to forgive others. Sometimes get it kind of quiet in the church when you start looking at some of these principles, commandments, not suggestions. Luke 6:37, judge not that ye shall not be judged, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Mark 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Mark 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses. That's the Old Testament sense before Christ died. But the principle is a good principle. It's from the Lord. I know that these I've got written here. I know that these were pre-crucifixion verse passages written to the nation of Israel. I understand that. And I know that after the cross, we have an advocate with the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But you want to live right with God? Then forgive others. God's looking for tender hearts, forgiving one another. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, said, to whom you forgive anything, 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave it I, watch it, in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. What's that talking about? Because you've got a hard heart, Satan's kind of got his foot in the door, ready to take advantage of you because of the unforgiveness of your heart. Isn't that what that says? Lest Satan, and he's talking to the church, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul is saying here, if we refuse to forgive somebody, you better look out, because Satan's got you right where he wants you. Okay. One of the most important things, I think, for people to learn is what forgiveness isn't. What forgiveness isn't. First of all, It's not excusing. When you forgive somebody something that they did, you're not excusing them for what they did. It's a pardon. You forgive despite the offense, despite the sin. And that kind of forgiving is a forgiveness that reaches out. But it's not excusing. Our Lord didn't excuse us. He didn't excuse our sin. He paid for it. He paid the penalty, the suffering for our sin. He didn't excuse it, say, well, it's okay, Tom. No, it wasn't okay. It was awful. Forgiving means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. And forgiveness is not saying that something is of minor importance, or it's really not that big a deal. And if we keep acting like it wasn't a very big deal, then it becomes seems like it becomes harder to forgive. You have to learn to a Christian pardon for Christ's sake. Father, forgive him for Christ's sake. Lord, I forgive him for Christ's sake. Because you forgave me, I forgive them. It's a choice, and we'll get to that. Forgiving is not trusting. We may forgive someone several times, but that don't mean we trust them. That makes sense. Sometimes you've probably forgiven people knowing that they're going to do it again. What's that about? Forgetting and forgiving. Forgiving and forgetting. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Shame on you. What did the Lord say here? And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. What if God kept bringing up your sins? I'm just telling you where God's mind is on this thing. I don't know how many minds I'll change or what. I don't know. God chooses not to remember our sins. Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. God, who's omnipresent, he's everywhere all the time. Where's behind his back at it? They're gone. I remember, I don't know the address or the verse about God casting your sins into the depths of the sea. And then you get over there in Revelation, and it said the sea was no more. Yay. Sea was no more. For my sins were cast. Oh, well. God chooses not to remember our sins. Hebrews chapter 11. Now those Hebrews of faith, the Hebrews Hall of Faith, they call it. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Moses, Rahab, David. You look back through the Old Testament and you look at those folks. Noah ended up drunk in a cave, isn't that right? Abraham and Sarah, Abraham lied about Sarah. Oh, she's my sister. I don't know. Yeah. Isaac, the trickster. Moses killed a man. And then looked around to make sure nobody saw him. Rahab, she was a hooker. Rahab, the harlot. David, man after God's own heart. He did a lot of bad stuff. But we said forgiveness is not to pardon the inexcusable. What I'm saying is you get over there in Hebrews chapter 11 and it's never brought up again. All those Old Testament saints, their sins are never mentioned. By faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and to a place where God told him to go, a place he knew not where he was headed. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, perished not with them that believed not. Man, it goes on and on. Talking about how the faith, these heroes of faith, and their sins aren't even mentioned. Man, that's pretty wild. Forgiveness is a pardon the inexcusable. God didn't excuse our sin. We try to step out in defiance of God. When we assert our independence from God and what he teaches on this, we fall into that category of where we're going about to establish our own righteousness and not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. God says you need to forgive because I've forgiven you. And we say, well, I just can't forgive that. Now, that's one thing. My. It is unexcusable. If God could have found some way to excuse us, he would have. Some way other than his own precious son, he would have done it if he could have. Don't that make sense? Some way to mitigate our sin. You know, in the Old Testament where they covered the sin, they hadn't been paid for. They still had a guilty conscience, a remembrance of sin from year to year. Had to have the Day of Atonement. If God could find some extenuating circumstance to justify us, he would have never sent his only precious son to the cross. Had him suffer in pain and humiliation. The only rebuttal to sin is the bold, unselfish deed of the one sinned against. It's going to take an unselfish decision by you to forgive that person that you've held this thing against for so long. Maybe years. I've done a lot of funerals. I've seen a lot of folks' funerals. There'll be one little huddle back there and another little huddle over here because they don't speak to one another. The only rebuttal is that unselfish deed of the one sinned against. 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "For Christ also hath suffered for sin, once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." The Lord didn't deny that it was painful. He didn't deny that it hurt. He sweated great drops of blood. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He didn't say there's anything easy about it. "Father, if there's any way, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." Man, can you picture that? Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't have to do that. No, he chose to do that. "No man taketh my life from me. I willingly lay it down." John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I..." The Lord speaking here, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus didn't have to die. Bible says the wages of sin is death. He committed no sin. I have. And it takes a death to pay my wages. It can be me. It can be my death. Then the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I can follow that route, or I can trust in another death, the substitutionary death of my Savior Jesus Christ. My, my, my. He said, he cried, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He chose to die for your sins. His Father didn't make him do it. He chose to forgive you. So why in the world would you refuse to forgive someone else? He forgave you everything, every transgression against God, every offense to God, he forgave you. Somebody does a few things to you and you're ready to hold that grudge. Take it to the judgment seat of Christ with you. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a choice. It's that simple. It's a choice we make by faith. It's a decision not to hold a sin against a person any longer. Just not going to hold it against him. I've made a choice to forgive that person. We learn that from the cross. Every decision, that very decision to resist the devil, to resist the flesh, to resist our natural inclinations, will allow the power of God and the grace of God to restore our peace, because it's your peace that unforgiveness takes away more than anyone else's. Our Lord said when he cried out to God, said, even so, Father, not mine, but thy will be done. And it's God's will that we forgive one another. Romans 12:21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In our text, Matthew 18:32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. I hope that you learn to forgive folks. It's something we all have to learn. And God uses his word to teach us, and he uses that Holy Spirit to guide us into his will, not our own. Maybe someone's got an unforgiving spirit that it'll keep you from being all that God wants you to be. It'll be a wedge between you and the will of God in your life, the plan of God for your life. All it does is allow Satan to have an advantage over you. Want peace, you want joy, you want to desire that perfect fellowship. I'll read a little passage in Colossians. I'm about done here. Put up Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know why people strive? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's a glue that holds it all together. Giving. Giving in love. You gave up your hard feelings. You nailed that to the cross with your Lord. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. As our Lord hung there on the cross, enduring all the wrongs, all the sin that any human being had ever committed, he suffered for all the wrong that I'd done, all that you've done, as he hung there for me and for you. It says in 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. My, my, my. I'm done. Forgiveness is a choice. You need to make that choice. It'll set you free. It'll It'll be a weight off your shoulders when you choose to forgive that person that wronged you so badly. It will. It'll help you. It'll help you. I choose to forgive you for Christ's sake, because what he forgave me for so much, I'm going to choose to forgive you. It's a choice by faith that we make in forgiveness. The altar's open tonight. If everyone would stand up.